Have you ever found yourself in a situation in where you're standing, be it you can't sleep or something physical, you know, you've got sinus problems or you got a headache or you got, you know, different things where the enemy has come against you? We've all done that, have we not? Okay, so let me follow the scenario. So in the scenario is, so we're standing and believing God, and we have healing in our, you know, in our midst, whether it's healing of whatever sort. I'm just using healing as an example. So then after that, you know, we start to hear voices like, well, you're not healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. So, you know, you might need to, you know, pray a little bit more or read the Bible more and get some more, you know, in. So I'm thinking, okay, well, that sounds logical, you know, I need to get more of the word and stuff like that. So I start reading, and I'm looking here in Ephesians, and, you know, I'm blessed by God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and according as He has chosen us, and in whom we have redemption, and all the different things that talked about in Christ, in whom we also have been ordained and with the inheritance of being predestined, in whom we have trusted, in whom also we have there believed, in whom. So I'm finding, you know, that we're talking, and all of a sudden I start remembering, man, you know, hey, I even share this. This is one of our teachings, that we are in Him, correct? So I follow that pattern, and I'm thinking, okay, my part is that I am in Him. I am concentrating, and I'm focusing on Him, and I am the healed. And this kind of, you know, goes on. A few days pass, and I notice, you know, I'm starting to maybe get some other thoughts now. And these other thoughts now is that, well, you're not seeing your manifestations, what's happening, you know, you need to be doing some other things. You need to maybe start fasting or confessing this or doing something else. Well, that sounds good, you know, that sounds logical and everything. And so I'm thinking, okay, I know I read the scripture, so I go over here to 2 Corinthians 10, and it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. That's what I got to do. I got to pull down these strongholds, this, you know, this mental thing that's happening, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Gosh, I need to start pulling down those. And it sounds very biblical. I mean, I'm reading it right here. 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3-5. Okay? So then I start to think about it from my standpoint of view. Am I really, you know, am I standing? Or am I lackadaisical, you know, against the symptoms of that the enemy keeps taunting me with? And then I remember some of the things that God has revealed to me and some of our teachings. And it says, it is the Spirit of the living God within me that has to bring those things out. That has to persuade me. Okay, so I'm, you know, I need to be persuaded. Okay, so I take my time and I end up and I sit down before the Lord and I say, God, you know, you're just going to have to persuade me in these areas and stuff like that. And I'm good for about 20-30 minutes, and then I start to thinking about, yeah, but what are you doing to be persuaded? You know, you've been doing this. And so all of a sudden I start to think along those lines of getting in my thought patterns, okay, how do I position myself to be persuaded? You know, I have to, you know, do something from my standpoint of view. Okay, so then I start looking for ways that I can position myself so that God can persuade me easier and better. I don't know if I'm, you know, I'm alone in this, or do I have company? Okay, so we have, you know, we have these things that come against us in the same manner. And we have, you know, even rationale type things. And then I still get those little voices that sometimes tell me, well, you know, now you've done this and you've done that, but you're still not healed. What's up? You know, why isn't it happening? I'm positioning myself. I'm doing this thing. Oh, I know what it is. I remember God said, Mickey, if you're going to do anything, What you need to do is that you need to believe. Believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Remember over there in John 6:28, it says, "And they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." Okay, so now I have to believe on the finished work. That's it. All the time, you know, I'm talking to myself. I'm rationalizing some things. I'm reading the Word of God. Have you gone through this? Okay. So, then we get to the point and we get to a situation that time passes and things still are not happening in my life, in this situation that I am standing and everything else. And by golly, I go over here, you know, in 2 Peter, it tells me that I have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness, okay? Life, healing, okay? Godliness, my spiritual, you know, place in God and my position in Him and all these things. And so I am almost at the point where I am looking, God, what's happening? Where are you? I'm not seeing what I need to see, and I'm believing your word to the best of my ability, to the best of my know-how. But what is happening to me? Why am I still not seeing in this area? And so we find ourselves going, I find myself going around and around, trying to position myself, trying to rationalize the things, trying to cast down imaginations, trying to do all these things that I see in the Word of God. And from my standpoint of view, then I remember, I read my brother, he says, "By his stripes I am healed, by his stripes I am healed until he received." Maybe that's what I need to do. And I remember he saying, "No, I just had to speak unto that mountain. I had to speak, you know, in the name of Jesus, be thou cast into the sea. This is out of my body. This is, and I am healed." I'm looking for something, and almost where the enemy is taking me is, and I say the enemy, because suddenly he is causing me to start to put myself in the position of that I have to do something in order to receive from God. And that is not my rightful position of being in Christ Jesus. And we find that, you know, as we've talked to many and our own experiences as well, that in the body of Christ, we find ourselves that we are doing this. And he is, you know, he's a subtle little cuss that comes against us. And he doesn't play fair. So he's the accuser, you know, he tempts you, but then he accuses you. "Well, yeah, you said you're healed, but you still got that cough and stuff like that. What's up, you know?" And so we find ourselves as the body of Christ being pulled into different areas, into different categories, and looking to ourselves then to find some kind of formula, to find some kind of combination in order that we can receive and this Word of God can start to become real in our lives. Because we read it, Jesus came that I might have that life and have it more abundantly, right? Okay? So, in that manner, we need to really stop and we need to really look at ourselves and where we have been, let's say, led astray to, in a sense. And it's something, like I said, it's something that has been very subtle with us. Because he's not going to, you know, blatantly pull you from one area to another area. No, he's just going to, you know, go fishing. And he's going to bring you along until finally you start taking that bait. And then before you know it, then he sets the hook in you. And in that manner is the way that he pulls us from where our positions in Christ are, truly are. And he gives us a false position. He gives us something that we can think that we are really in him, but we're not really in him. We're almost back here at Romans 10, verses 2 and 3, where we are almost trying to establish our own righteousness as Israel was, not receiving the righteousness of God that he had provided, but trying to establish our own righteousness. And he does that in a very subtle manner. And the thing about it is that man, we, unfortunately, go by our five physical senses. Well, it still hurts, doggone it, you know. And so he uses that as, I told you, you know, well, I told you so. Well, you thought you were, but I told you, you know, your leg still hurts. Oh, you still have this cough, or you, but whatever it is. So he uses our own five physical senses against us until that he has allured us into a place. And what I wanted to share, my part that I want to share, and then I want to give it over to Susan, where she's going to share with you from her standpoint of view, and is that I can read, I can look, and I can go to different things. I can remember teachings of different ones and different testimonies of different ones that have, you know, that God has healed them, that God has touched their lives, and sometimes instantaneously, sometimes over a period of time, whatever the case may be, but they have been healed, they have been touched by God, okay? And I have come to find out that God made us all his children, but he made us all individual. And so where I might look upon this particular area in my life, and I see and I read a very close brother of mine that I know, and he's written this book about his testimony and how God, you know, healed him of life and death situation where he got bit by a spider or something, and what he did, well, that's what he did, that's what God had him to do. And then I look over at Andrew and what his testimony is as far as different things, and that's what he did. But I don't need to look at those areas in order to look for my way. Okay? Now, I'm just going to find my place and rest and let the Lord really minister to us in that place of rest where we can truly come to that place of rest in him, where he can bring forth his persuasion into our hearts. Because when that persuasion is in our hearts, it's there, and we have it. It's no longer, the five physical senses have lost their grip, let me put it that way. Because we are convinced and persuaded in our hearts. And that's when we know that we know, and that's when the enemy loses his battle in that manner. So with that, I'm going to let Susan share with you something, how that came about and how God persuaded her.
Well, every place we go, we do seminars on identity in Christ. And so we come from John chapter 15 sometimes, and it says that he's the vine and we're the branches. And as we go and research that out, we find out that the branches, all they do is receive. They do absolutely nothing else. They just receive. And that's what causes the fruit to come forth. And then we read scriptures, and I've read scriptures, and we use those. In Romans chapter 8, it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So anything that you would try to think of how you're going to address it, it's probably in the carnal mind. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. And then we read that if the Holy Spirit quickens us, everything that you receive spiritually is because the Holy Spirit quickens it. You can't receive it here. You have to receive it here. I have a whole lot of knowledge right here that's not right here. But I have some that the Spirit's quickened. And so what makes our faith different than others is we have the Holy Spirit that's inside, working truth from the inside out. And so we've been teaching these years all this time. And a year ago, in September, we were scheduled to go to Colombia and Costa Rica. In April, when we came back from those places, I had noticed a little knot under my arm. And I've been praying for this, doing just like Mickey said, okay, I'm praying, I'm believing, it's still there. But just God's taking care of it. But in September, I thought, you know, before I can go any farther, I've got to get this off my mind. And so I went to the doctor, and what they did was they said, you have breast cancer, and it spread to your lymph nodes. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh. And we've talked to a couple of people, but we just said, well, we're not going to believe that. We're just going to believe the story that God has. We packed our bags anyway, And we came by, we were dropped him off at Kent's house because he was going to take us to the airport. And we had to go by the doctor for one more thing. It's just going to tell us that it's false alarm. But when we went, that wasn't the way it was. So we wound up staying home last year. And for this whole year, until in March, Mickey took a team to Ecuador. And then he took another team to Ecuador. And I stayed home. And I just want to tell you what the Lord did. And all these things that Mickey's talking, how this all came about. I know all the scriptures right here that talk about healing. I don't know. I mean, maybe I could find some that I don't know, but it was not a lack of knowledge. When they gave me that report, fear courses through your veins. And right here, God's healed me. But right here is the opposite report. You know, we read the scriptures that says, if you believe and not doubt, all things are possible. I believe right here, but right here, it does not believe. It is screaming. And so I wasn't able to rest in what I believed. And all my life, I have tried. I will memorize scriptures and get to a certain spot. I think I need to get closer to God, and I'll get right about here before the top comes and slide down. Okay, I'm going to do this better next time. And maybe 3 weeks, I'm really right on. But eventually, right before the top, I slide back down. And Mickey said, well, what about righteous indignation? You just really need to get mad. But you know, based on knowing who I am, I said, Mickey, if this healing depends on me just screaming to the devil and quoting the scriptures and never doubting, I'm going to fail. And Mickey's first wife passed away of cancer. And so this was like a double whammy for both of us. And so there, I began to think about all this. It's not because I don't know the word, so it's not that I need to memorize another scripture. Well, maybe I'll just come to the church and get everybody to pray for me. I prayed. I've been praying since April. And God says, I've already done it. You don't have to beg me. So I guess I don't need someone to say the perfect prayer, so it's not all depending on someone saying the words just right. That's not the answer. I don't know how to get rid of the unbelief here. And how many of you have knowledge here, but you don't have here? And I was exactly to that spot. And so, as I was praying, I felt like the first thing God says was, can you just look as though you were on the other side of the Red Sea, looking back at this, just see yourself down the road, doing the things God called you to do, and looking back at this as though it never happened. I want you to take that attitude. And so that was the attitude. Well, somehow he's going to take me to the other side, but I have not a clue. And then I just began to remember those scriptures. The Spirit has to quicken. I don't know how to affect my heart. I know how to affect my head. But I don't know how to rest. And so I just came to that spot, okay, I believe that's the answer. But that didn't help the butterflies. It didn't help every time I went to the doctor, just another. And Mickey had told a couple of people. We have not told very many people. We wanted to wait until it was a God story. So you know now it's a God story. Amen. But we hadn't told many people, but he told one of his friends. Because she had been instrumental in speaking into his life and his first wife's life. And so one day she calls me up on the phone. And she says, Susan, what I believe is you need to rest. And then she said, it's got to be God that does this. And then she started asking me questions. Well, when were you saved? Well, what was your experience as a little girl? Well, and she went on and on, and she said, you've just never really seen yourself sitting in God's lap, have you? And by then, I was mad. So I slammed the phone in the hook, and I went to Mickey, and I said, you and your little friends can talk all you want. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to go for a jog. And so as I went out the door, I ran a little ways, just building up pressure. And finally, I started screaming at God. Don't you know I've tried to rest? Don't you get it? I can't do that. Don't you see that I'm weak? I don't know how to do this. Can't you see this? You say this is easy? Well, it's hard. And you said that even children can get this? Well, I've looked hard for the things you have. And if I can't get it, how do you expect the guy on the street to get it? And suddenly, something just began to change. It all came out of that moment where I was so mad. And after that, I just began to say, well, it's the Holy Spirit's job. He has to quicken it. What's here is going to have to be quickened here. I don't know how to bring it to here, but He has to quicken it. When I would begin to feel fear, then I would just say, it's God's job. I guess He's going to have to take care of it. And I would just think about the words that were spoken to us. You're going to take this all around the world. And God had not really gone to that point. So, no, this is what God's going to do. I don't know how this is going to happen. He's going to have to work it from the inside out. But I cannot do that. I cannot just scream and scare the devil away. It's not just quoting scriptures. It's not begging God because He's done it. I just have to rest in that. And the only way I know how to rest is it's God's job. And so, last fall, we came to church some, and I had a wig. I lost all my hair, but that's the only thing that really slowed me down. I went through some chemotherapy treatments. It was a stage 3 cancer that had spread into my lymph nodes. So I went through some chemotherapy, but I never missed a meal, and I continued to run, to jog. All this time, when I would go back to the doctor, my blood pressure was 150 over something. It was like skyrocketed, because all I had to do was see that place, and this just came up in me. And one day my daughter talked to me, and she said, Mom, the place is not your enemy. And I remember, even when it came to going to the doctor, you think, okay, am I going to do what the doctor says? He said, you don't need to go on that trip. You need to stay here. We need to treat this, because it's already been going a while. Or do I just say, I'm going to trust God? That's what a godly person would do, is just trust God. And one day, as I was talking to my daughter, she said, Mom, you know, God's going to be with you no matter what you do. Sometimes we're so determined that we have to do it a certain way, or it can't be faith. Mm-hmm. She said, God's going to be with you no matter what. You just rest in the fact that He's going to be with you. If you want to go to the doctor, fine. If you choose not to, He's still going to be with you. It still has to be Him working it from the inside out. And so as she ministered that to me, she said, the hospital's not your enemy. You know, God has to put that peace in you even there. And that's how the devil uses it. He gets you to see that place. And it was like walking down, they have a sky ramp that goes over into UNC. And it was like walking down death row waiting to go to them. But that's not the enemy. And so it's God's job. I can't work it from the, I cannot do it. God has to do this. And then I said, well, how is God going to get the glory if they're doing all the work? Even if I'm healed, how is He going to get the glory? And God just said, don't worry, you'll recognize it. So in January or February, they did a surgery, and they took the lump out and some lymph nodes out from under my arm. And they called me up for their pathology report. And a day before I was supposed to go, the nurse called, and she said, I just want to be the first one to tell you. She said, when they did the lab report, they couldn't find any cancer cells, not one, not even a trace, not even one cell. And that never happens. So the next day when I went into the doctor, he came in and he says, do you know how lucky you are? Do you know how lucky you are? He said, we didn't find anything. He said, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst results that we can expect, 10 being the absolute best, we usually at the very best, when everything goes perfect, maybe an 8 is what we can achieve. But he said, you were like a 10 plus, and that never happens. And so it was not the way that other people come to a healing. You know, God has all kinds of ways. And one day I was reading that scripture about the one where Jesus where the man had the son that the disciples couldn't heal. And Jesus came and He said, if you believe, all things are possible. And the man says, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus healed him. It's like He threw Himself at Jesus. I don't know how to take care of this. And, you know, we can work at taking care of unbelief maybe by... The Spirit works through the Word. But the Word without the Holy Spirit quickening is incomplete. And it's miserable knowing something here and not being able to walk in. I'd rather not know it sometimes, because that's where all the condemnation comes, is not being able to get it here. Jesus had appeared to the other disciples. They had put their hands, their fingers in the nail holes. They had seen him. They had touched him. And they believed, but Thomas wasn't there. So when they told him about it, Thomas, he said, I can't believe. Unless I put my fingers in those holes, I cannot believe. And so the next time Jesus appeared in John chapter 20, in verse number 27, Jesus just says, peace be unto you. Reach thither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Instantly he believed. And then Jesus says, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And we read that and say, okay, you just have to faith it out. I believe I'm healed. I don't care what I see, I'm healed. Because the word says that. But as I read that, for me, this is what God spoke to me, is how is the only way you can believe without seeing? You have to have a rhema word from God. Head knowledge is not good enough. And it has to be quickened. And, you know, when I read other people's books on healing, I would get so far, and pretty soon I just wanted to cry and throw it. Because, you see, that was God's rhema way that he did it for them. God did it for them that way. But if I try to read it that their thing and try to apply it to my life, now it's a formula. And it doesn't work the same. It just becomes very frustrating. People here, this church is about healing. Pastor Kent or Henry can go to someone and pray for them and they can be instantly healed. Because somehow God is using them to put a rhema something inside of that other person. They have the faith that can produce the healing. But it works all kinds of ways. When Jesus, sometimes he spit in the mud and put it on someone's eyes. Sometimes he just said, be healed. And so it works all kinds of different ways. And the more I have thought about this, the more I have read is that the Holy Spirit has to quicken it. We're only the branch, just the receiver. In the Old Testament, man operated in flesh and he had to depend on a set of laws that he had to perform by his willpower. And in Romans chapter 7, it says, to will is present, but how to perform it, I find not. And a lot of us are in that spot. To will is present, but how to perform it, I find not. And Mickey was talking to me when we were talking about righteous indignation. He says, Susan, haven't you ever heard about righteous indignation? And I told him, well, you know, I've heard about that, but I have not personally gotten a word about that. It's been a while since I've read that. I read it when I was a mixture more, having the Old Covenant and the New Covenant mixed together. But for me, I've always done this. Never. Quite. To will was present. I willed more than anybody, but I never could catapult myself over the top by my willpower. And so for me, it had to be something different, something more. And then as I read it, over and over and over, the Bible just says, it's the Spirit. Because of Jesus, we have the Spirit inside. Now we have a direct link with God, and the Spirit is speaking to me things of the Spirit. The flesh can't enter the kingdom. You can't get there on human reasoning. It has to be by God revealing the things to you. And if you go to John chapter 3, when it starts out, Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, we know you're a teacher come from God because God is with you. I know there's something different about you because I recognize that God is with you. And then Jesus just said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? It's inside. And then we read on, and Nicodemus said, how can I be born a second time? And then Jesus answered, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? What is it that we're looking for? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's walking right now with a sense of righteousness, with a sense of peace. But it's the Holy Ghost that's working those things inside of you. And he says, you can't enter the kingdom. I can't get to that place where I'm experiencing that. And I can't see the kingdom where that's going on unless I'm born again. And what is born again? It says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. And a lot of times in our traditional circles, water is just the physical birth. The Spirit is the spiritual birth, and those two are mixed. But when I read this, it's the water, the Bible talks about the water, the washing of the water of the Word in several places. He talks about that in John 15. And so he's saying, unless the Holy Spirit comes and reveals the Word that you have, quickens the Word that you have, you can't enter that place. The Spirit is working things from the inside out. And sometimes we're trying to get this healing, trying to get this peace, trying to get, and we're doing it like this. But if we can just come to this place, that's God's job. He's the only one that can do that. He's working it from the inside out. Because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Spirit, well, let's go here. So I'll quote it right. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's when those two things come together, the Word and the Spirit revealing to you that Word is what brings life. And I was just thinking about, in verse number 3, it says, you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. The Holy Spirit is flowing through you. And God uses you to speak to people. He can use you to speak to someone and bring healing, to bring hope, to bring a place where they can experience the things of God. But when we just pound people with the Word, Mickey could say when his first wife had cancer, the people in the church would say, God's teaching you a lesson. This is what it says. You just need to memorize these scriptures. And I saw a Bible. It was completely covered in red. Every scripture on healing that she could find was underlined. And you know, I'm not any different than she is. I'm not a spiritual giant. I'm a baby. I am weak. And it's not about how much you know. It's just, how can we just throw ourselves on Him and say, Jesus, here I am. I don't know how to do this. But you know how to do that. And He's the only one that could bring rest. And so now as we were just at Thanksgiving time laughing over our dinner. And I think, but wow, it's a whole lot different than it was last year at this time. You saw us. We came to the church several times. But my children would come out to stay with me, you know, a week or two at a time. Different ones would come. And my son had come up at Thanksgiving time. And he'd just gotten married, but he came out with his wife just to be with his mom at Thanksgiving time. And then I had a high hope, but I didn't have I didn't have the culmination of everything. I just had that idea. He's working it from the inside out, but I had not seen the results. But as I look now, over a year has passed, and how much different this funny little meal that we had in India was. We're doing the things that God called us to do. Now we're looking back from the other side. Amen. And what is this? This is like a compression sleeve, because the lymph nodes are gone and the lymph just builds up. But God doesn't do things part way. So this is not the rest of the story. He's still at work. But what a blessing it is. You know, when we get a word from God, God has used those words for me so many times. And just those simple little words at the ordination, I had to rehearse those. And when God says, can you see yourself on the other side, as though you're looking back, as though this never happened, before I'm to this spot. I rehearsed those words over and over and over and over. Those words that He gives to us sometimes are a matter of life and death. Those words actually bring life to us. And so He can use us to speak into other people's lives, to speak life to people. It's not the written words, but you can lead people to Jesus with the words that can bring hope. So I'm just really excited to be here, to experience the things that we've done, and just to see what's happened since July. As we've gone to these places, amazing things have happened. Every place we've gone, we've had identity seminars and just crowds of people. And you can just see them getting it. Or we just watch them in India. It's just like, wow, watching it. But just now, these things are coming around in the manner that God saw them. And for Mickey, when we were sitting in the doctor's office and the doctor gave the prognosis, immediately the enemy says, "You remember your first life? This is what happened. It's going to happen again." But before that thought even was finished, God came through. "Son, it's not the same. It's not going to be the same." God worked with him in a different manner. But we just felt like God wanted us to. This is what he wanted us to share with you today. So.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.